Hi, this is Shannon from Voices of Defiance, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
And once again, for a third week, again, we have with us...
Consultant Wing.
Hi, guys.
All righty. Yay.
Hi, Wing.
I'm sorry. I'm invading your cast again.
It's all right. Open to invite. You're welcome on anytime. And welcome, everyone, to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast number 48, covering Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 6, A Fractured House. This podcast is recorded Wednesday, October 29th, 2014. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the general Marvel Universe.
Because we want to see Natasha pick up Thor's hammer.
If you'd like to talk to us more about Thor's hammer, you can reach us at our website, legendsofshield.com, at our voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can find us on Facebook at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast, Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Tumblr, legendsofshield.tumblr.com, and our forums at forums.gunnageek.com or search Gunna Geek one word on the Tapatop app.
Haley, I almost spit tea all over my computer. That was great.
I want to see that film. I'm just saying, somebody this week made me a joke that there would be a Valentine's special of Black Widow on TV for Valentine 2015, and that's not happening, and I'm really let down.
That's because you were in work all day long on the Marvel event day and had no idea what was going on. It was really easy to kid you.
I get out of work and the guys are talking and I'm like, what the are you talking about? They're like, you're kidding. I was in a meeting for the last 6 hours. I don't know where to begin. Oh my God, this is the second advent of Christ.
Nobody knew where to begin with you, honestly.
No.
It took four of us just to try to stumble through what had happened. But we'll get to that later. In the meantime, since Lauren put all our contact information out, want to run through some tweets that we got back. Christy said, since Wing, you're here, she said... She loves how Wing couldn't say Doctor Who in his normal way when it was pointed out to him. So, for Christy, Wing, can you please try to say Doctor Who?
Doctor Who?
We'll try to slip it in later. We'll try to just slip it in so he doesn't...
I'll try to just talk about it during the cast, so it's probably going to be more natural than trying to say it right now. You know, because right now I'm like thinking, H, Doctor Who, who...
We really need to get you some English lessons. Also,
I thought that's what this was, but okay.
Okay. Also, another foreigner, Andy, tweeted us, and he said, alone for the fight choreography, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is so much more enjoyable for me than Gotham. And, you know, from the action standpoint, I gotta agree with him. It is definitely not in the same category.
Well, very Gotham is not trying to do the same thing at all.
Also true. But when I was watching it for the second time, I watched it the second time with my husband, and he was pointing out during especially the May and Bobby fight scenes, like, wow, they're really stepping it up this season.
Yeah, I have several notes about that scene.
Oh, can't wait to get to that.
Yes.
Jay also said he's generally pretty excited by the announcement yesterday, talking about the hashtag Marvel event. One or two titles I'm not dying to see yet, but all interesting. And I think we've all learned from the Guardians of the Galaxy, haven't we, Wing?
No, it's just one of the most...
Haven't we, Wing?
No, not yet. Come on. I need something to bitch about for the next 4 years.
Oh, don't make Sean come after you.
Oh, I'll make Sean come after me.
That's what I mean, DP. Because he will. He'll listen to this and he'll come after you. So you better say you're sorry.
No, I'm okay.
Oh, okay. Jay also said regarding the scene at the end of the episode, he loved that Cap was able to shift the hammer. We've gotten several comments about that. And the face when Thor noticed it. Love that they included that.
Yeah, Cap is actually... Okay, so of the people who are able to lift Thor's hammer, other than Thor, Cap is one of them in the comics. There's also a what if where Natasha, Black Widow, is able to lift it.
Oh, that's the one we want.
Yeah.
That would be amazing, yes. It was actually a really cool what if. And Wonder Woman is worthy.
Yeah.
It was from a crossover back in the 90s. And she like picks up the hammer, gives it to Thor, who is wearing a truly atrocious 90s costume.
Did it have six nipples on it?
No, he has like, okay.
Giant shoulders.
Like some sort of, and like this weird face thing. He looks like some sort of weird glam rock star. But.
Did he have the punk hair?
That's rubbing
his feet
for
you. He does. He does. For a second there, I looked and I thought that I was looking at Longshot. Because it looked like a Rob Liefeld drawing.
Wasn't it the crossover drawn by Rob Liefeld?
You know?
I think it is.
Holy, okay. I have to check.
Because the way you describe it, this is the total Rob Liefeld influence from like 1992 to 1998 when all the superheroes were triangles with millions of muscles.
Let's see.
Well, that was a really, really good crossover though. And anyway, I don't see Batman lifting Thor's hammer.
No.
I don't know. I thought Superman maybe, but on the other end, no.
Okay, it was issue 4 of Marvel DC, which was drawn by Dan Jurgens and Claudio Castellini. But it's from 1996, so it is so...
It's in that sweet spot anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Comic talk. From the 90s.
Well, comic talk. I mean, come on. This is a comic book show.
Ooh, I read my first 1971 comic this week. That was exciting.
Which one was it?
It was a really mediocre Captain America.
Yeah. Wow, at least Cap is back.
So for 1971, mediocre means it was absolutely phenomenal. Break down the door. Gotta buy it now.
Nope, that is not what it means.
No.
Captain America is not the best book from the 70s. At least not at this point.
All right. Well, just let us know when it gets better. And finally, I just want to say thank you to Operator for live tweeting the West Coast feed of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Lauren, you took the East Coast feed, correct?
Yes, it did.
And then we got Operator step in, which was great because it's midnight my time and I ain't staying up that late.
Yeah, no, at that point I was getting ready to go to sleep and then I decided to check Twitter one more time because I am glued to my phone like it's, you know, another appendage. And then I'm like, hey, someone's tweeting from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. account. And I look and I'm like, oh, hey, it's Op. That's cool.
Yeah. I asked Op to step in. Hopefully he'll be able to do it again. He's welcome to anytime. So just step in and do it. That would be awesome.
I've been here for 3 weeks. Op is like, how can I get on the show too? How can I get on the show?
There you go. You can get on the show anytime, Op. You just have to stop recording your other cast that you're doing on Wednesday night. So also on the Facebook, had a ton of likes. Thank you guys very much. We really appreciate it. We do have 3 voicemails. You guys ready to listen to them?
Yeah, of course.
Hey, guys. This is at Mr. Pericles on Twitter. Really looking forward to next week's episode, hoping Ward gets to redeem himself a little bit. I know that's maybe asked a little bit much, but we could dream. Really excited about the Age of Ultron trailer that was released. Been hearing people talk about, you know, if that's Iron Man in the Hulkbuster suit or if it's Stark. I'm curious as to who it is, if, you know, if he's trying to defend against the Hulk or if the Hulk's gone crazy, or, to remind people, Baron von Strucker has got the Loki Pokey stick, so maybe he's getting the Hulk to do his dirty work for him. So that's just my thought. Love the cast. Can't wait to hear you next time.
Who do you say has the Loki Pokey stick?
Baron von Strucker.
Ah.
Which, yeah, we did see that at the end of Winter Soldier, a little
mid-credits
scene.
So it is around, especially since we got the 2 metahumans or whatever we call. What are we supposed to call these 2 people?
I heard somebody call them gifted somewhere.
So they're going to go with gifted. Okay.
Well, we can't call them mutants. So. Dirty word. Dirty word.
We can't say the M word.
No.
Yeah, no mutant, no metahuman. That's DC. What else left?
Special.
Special needs.
Short bus. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure they're going to like that, but we can try that if you have the balls to.
I'm not going to say that. One guy can run a gazillion miles the other, and the other woman can,
She's crazy and can kill you with her brain.
Yes, so no, I'm not going to do anything. All right. So talking about Operator before, he was live tweeting. He also sent us a voicemail. Just notice that it said a voicemail. It wasn't three. He's also always welcome to send in three or four or six or whatever, but he sent in one. So you guys ready to listen to his one voicemail?
Yeah, send your own gas up. Come on.
Hey, guys. It's Agent Op. This is pre-episode. The thing has not come on yet. So obviously, I want to talk about Phase 3. Phase 3, which was just announced today, just looks freaking amazing. What I really can't wait for, honestly, is the Black Panther movie and the Captain Marvel movie. Both of those, it's just going to be awesome. And Captain Marvel, really, you need Katie Sackhoff to do that one, because that's just typecasting. That would just be awesome. And Yvonne Strahovski, yeah, maybe, but I just see Katie Sackhoff in there. But the other one that gets me is Avengers Infinity War. I mean, yeah, the Inhumans sounds cool, and it could be interesting to see how they do it, but Infinity War, that means they got to have the Infinity Gauntlet in there, and it's just, yes, please, twice, damn it, yes. So, yeah, definitely can't wait for that, and, yeah, Marvel, Phase 3, it's on. It basically told Warner Brothers in DC, on your left. Talk to you later. Bye.
Nice pull up. That was good. I do have a bone of contention. I think that I would love to have seen Katie Sackhoff as Captain Marvel 10 years ago. We've already talked about this. I don't think it's going to happen now. I think they're going to have to go with somebody else.
I still would like to see her in it. I don't care if they think she's too old. I think she's perfect.
And see, the thing is that, especially if they're going by the Kelly Sue written Captain Marvel, where she's been serving in like the Air Force and everything like that, I think you should go with someone a little older, like somebody who's in her 30s.
Yeah, not just that. You need to, at this point, they need to have a new Robert Downey Jr., character that people want to follow. If they can do that with her, and I think the fact that she's older is going to work for her. So if they could do that with her, that would be perfect. And that would be another like out of the blue, because let's face it, we all want a Captain Marvel movie, but it's so easy to mess up. So do that good.
They're all easy to mess up. With the exception of the Hulk movie, I think Marvel has done a tremendous job of the entire slate so far.
Except Iron Man 2, for me, it's, yes, they have a really good record right now, but they have movies that are way better than the other. I mean, the gap between Captain America 2 and Thor 2 is enormous, and they're movies that were almost following each other. They were following each other. So there's still space to have really good one and to have, okay one. So I'm hoping this one's going to be a Iron Man 1 out of the park one. So that's why I'm really hoping for somebody surprising in there.
Okay, Wing, question, since I heard this on Gonna Geek this week. So James Bond has 24 movies under their belt.
Yep.
How many of those would you quantify as just so-so or tanking versus the really good ones?
In the James Bond series, I would say you have a good half and half. But the bottom is really, really dark. And the eyes are really, really high too. There's not that much shades of gray. At some point, there is a mark between the really good ones and the really mediocre one. But I would say it's 50-50. But people tend not right now to put these because Marvel's going to have X number of movies in X number of years. Yeah, they're not sequels. I'm sorry. Yes, they have sequels in there. But this is a mesh universe. This is a shared universe, if you want. James Bond is always the same character. They rebooted once. After 20 movies, they rebooted. Now they're 3 in. So there's a big difference in there.
Yeah, it's impossible to find a comparison on one movie studio that has done so well with so many movies, right? So you've got Marvel right now with 10 movies and going on 21. And you've got MGM or whoever it was that did James Bond throughout. I think it's all been MGM, hasn't it?
No, it's been started with United Artists, but it's been Eon since the start.
Okay. So you have 24 movies there. So it's
over 50 years?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marvel, another thing Wing pointed out, I'm going to geek. Marvel is throwing out 2 or 3 movies a year versus the one movie every 5 years or whatever it is with James Bond.
At some point, they were doing one a year. That was something. But now with what they're doing, they can't. I mean, have you seen the quality of Skyfall? I know you haven't.
No, I haven't yet. I've got it. I just haven't watched it yet.
God, but it's a beautiful movie. I mean, it's porn.
It is a gorgeous, gorgeous movie.
I had to start playing Civilization Beyond Earth today. That's what I did with my free time.
Have you watched Top Gun?
It's on the list, okay?
All right, all right.
Watch Skyfall before Top Gun. It's really visual porn. Yeah, so
it's so beautiful.
And I'm sorry, as good as all the Marvel movies are, and some of them are really well shot, Skyfall is way beyond everything they've done at this point.
Yeah, their cinematographer, I forget, did their cinematographer win an Oscar, or were they just nominated?
It was nominated and it was snubbed.
Okay.
But this guy is ready for an Oscar. Everything he's touching is magic, but he never wins.
Well, the point is that it's incredibly hard to find a comparable studio to go back and forth. And it's incredibly hard to find a run of movies to go back and forth. You might even throw John Wayne, some of his films in there. I mean, he was basically the same character, different places. So, it's impossible to do a one for one. I think Marvel is by far in a way has the most successful attempt ever at something like this.
And you know why they were successful? Because they were not too cocky about it. And that's what I'm afraid with DC right now. Because as I pointed on your left, yes, DC is starting their phase one. If you ask me, the slate of movie of DC is way more interesting for me because these are way more major characters that I'm really interested to see a good rendition on the big screen. The thing with Marvel that is interesting at this point is the track record they have. I mean, they made this the year of the raccoon. So if they can do that, I'm really curious what they can do with Inhuman. Yeah, sure. I'm way more curious to see what they can do with Inhuman than what they can do with Thor 3 at this point.
I got to say, that is a very, very valid point. I do want to see what happens to the characters I care about, but there is a huge part of me that's just really curious to see, okay, they made people care about a raccoon and a talking tree. Can they make people care about Black Bolt? And will they include Lockjaw?
Yeah, and that's pretty much where I was trying to go for, is that they've done a marvelous job, even with their so-so movies, of pulling in a lot of bank for just incredible storytelling and incredible interconnected universe, and so on and so forth. So, yes, we have 21 movies, another 10 or 11 in front of us, and we have a proven track record of the production house of taking unknowns and making it awesome. So, we'll just see where this goes. I'm along for the ride for now, and I was just really excited about the slate. We'll talk about that in a little bit, the whole slate. In the meantime, we do have one last voicemail. You guys ready to hear that?
Yep.
Hey, agents, it's Adam. Here with some thoughts about the episode and the Age of Ultron clip. Just sort of some random stream of consciousness here. Did any of you guys expect Ward's brother to double-cross him during the handover? I really half expected the soldiers that were there to pick Ward up to try to grab Coulson while they were at it. Kind of surprised that it was Simmons that threatened to kill Ward, but at the same time, it's going to be really interesting if they see him again, given how things ended. Kind of surprised that Talbot turned around and then offered sympathy for their losses there. I guess it really was Ward's brother who was sort of giving him his lead on go after S.H.I.E.L.D. But now onto the clip. I mean, the trailer kind of speaks for itself, but I did like that Thor's hammer did move a little bit when Cap grabbed it and Thor perked up like, wait, did that just happen? So, can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later.
As always, excellent to hear from you, Adam, operator, and Mr. Paracletes. You guys have anything to say about Mr. Adam's voicemail?
Good points.
Yeah.
I agree with everything you say, sir. I don't know what to add to it.
The episode-specific stuff, I imagine that we'll talk about in detail in a bit.
Yep.
Yep.
But, yes. Thank you very much for calling in, and we really appreciate it. And we will get to the episode in a second. If you want to contact us at any point in time, we would love feedback from the episode that you're watching for the week or the movie or whatever the case it may be. Really would like to hear about your top five Marvel characters. Heard a lot of those so far. It is great to hear a lot of Spidey. I would have to go back and chart out how many different Spider-Man characters there were, but it's got to be 60 to 80%. So Seems like Spidey's a big Marvel winner there.
He's been well written since his inception. He's always had good art. He's just the most popular character, which is what makes it so impressive that Marvel Studios has been so successful without their top character.
Yeah.
They don't have Spider-Man. They don't have Wolverine. And they were like, okay, well, we're going to bank on Iron Man and Thor.
And we'll see raccoon. What happens.
Oh, yeah, the raccoon. Yeah, let's bring the raccoon in. Good, 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 good.
No, at that point, that was not banking on him. That was like, okay, could we? I'm sure there was, okay, Guardians of the Galaxy. Awesome movie. Now we all know, no problem. I'm sure there was a joke around the table at some point. I'm sure we can make a raccoon in a tree work. No, you can't. Wait. And somebody lost a bet and had to find a movie that was profitable with this and found the right people to make it happen. And now Marvel is like, well, okay, we can do anything now. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to level the playing field.
Talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, we have revised numbers. This is very important because we have some quarters riding on it.
Right. Well, it's pretty much run its course domestically. It's still at $328.6 million. But worldwide, it's up to $752.6 million. And the China box office is at $84.4 million.
Ooh, getting close.
And for those interested, the Ghana box office is at 4,800.
Is that the smallest?
I don't know. I just, when I was looking up China's numbers, I saw Ghana down there and it made me giggle. So I had to share.
That's great.
I mean, it could be worse. There's this one movie that I forget the name of. I was just looking it up yesterday, but there is a movie, Zizek's Road. That's it. It has the worst return of all time. It made $30.
It made $30. So the guy who made it and his mother went in.
Look it up, Zizek's Road.
How many theaters was it released in?
I don't remember, but it was a non-zero amount.
Lots of free tickets.
Yeah, let me check. I gotta see this now.
While you're checking, for the record, we do have a quarter bet going on. And since Wing is here, he is also in on it, although he cheated because he got the first week's take before he chose his number, which was?
100 million.
100 million. It closes without going over. And Haley, you have?
150.
All right. I have 170. And Lauren, wisely, in Price's Right terms, chose 171.
Nice. Nice.
So I'm kind of boxed in. So I'm
didn't get anybody to do the $1 bet. That's what we should have done, if you were thinking.
So right now we're at 84. So we need another 16 million.
Yeah, around.
Mm-hmm. And then Wing goes bye-bye.
It's so another there. Week.
How much did it do this week?
Like 15, I think.
Yeah, okay. I'm screwed.
No, it just has to not go over 150 and you win.
Okay. It's not going to get to 150.
How is that? Because it's closest without going over. I'm confused.
Right. So if it goes to 100, which it's going to.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go to 150, he wins.
That's right.
Captain Heigl was in this movie? Tom Sizemore? Good grief.
It opened in one theater in Dallas for 6 days in 2006.
6 days and $30? Yes. Oh my God.
It made $30.
84 minutes of heaven.
Unofficially, its opening weekend netted $20. The $10 difference is due to a personal refund by Grillo to his makeup artist.
Wow.
That's amazing.
They didn't make money on DVD.
I suppose so, but I think it would be hard not to at this point.
Yeah, it depends on what the Netflix royalties were, or Redbox or whatever. All right. So we're barking up more than $750,000 now worldwide. That is amazing. And we're not going to see a billion here, not with box office numbers, but for a movie that everybody was scratching their heads over why Marvel was doing, and it took $170 million to make, this was definitely a success. So we also have numbers for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, this week it had 4.44 million viewers live in same day, which is almost the same as last week when it had 4.36 million.
So we're stabilizing at around 4.5. We'll see if we can bring that up. I'm hoping Agent Carter will do double that in January. That would be awesome.
Yeah, in January and December when people are on vacation. I know that's a +7 number that are going to be good on that one.
I am so excited about Agent Carter.
Oh, like, my God, yes.
I'm more excited about that right now probably than I am about Avengers.
You know why I'm more excited about that? It's because it's a period piece. Right. I love the period piece in the first Captain America. It's when it became sci-fi weirdy that I was like, meh. So I'm good for them to go back there.
Yeah, there's a lot of dark surrounding Avengers 2. And there's not a lot of dark surrounding Agent Carter. I mean, it's the Golden Age. We haven't found out that Hydra is still in the ranks and stuff. And they're just starting out in their quest. It's definitely got a more good feeling to it than Avengers 2 does at the moment.
Yeah. I don't care about Avengers 2. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's right. Crazy Marvel rankings.
Right now, what I'm looking at for the rest of the slate, and maybe we can use that to move into the news, is that I want to see what kind of wreck Ant-Man is going to be. Ant-Man is the test. It's not the raccoon anymore. Is that, are they able to work now? If they can make this work, I have no problem. But after that, I want my Civil War and I want my Doctor Strange. And I really hope that rumor that we're not supposed to talk about is true. So,
all right. So before we get into the whole slate, we'll just briefly touch on what happened. 2 days ago, Marvel held an event, the Marvel event, and they announced what they're calling Phase 3. I tend to think it's Phase 3/4, but it starts with Avengers 2, it rolls out to the Avengers Infinity War Part 2, which happened in Inhumans, happens in between there, and so does Captain Marvel. So, okay, Phase 3, Phase 4, or whatever. That's just okay. Me.
Well, Avengers 2 is the end of Phase 2.
Okay.
So Ant-Man is the start of Phase 3.
Okay.
We already know that comes out July 17th after the Avengers.
All right. So we have 2 movies in 2015, 2 movies in 2016, and then we go to 3 movies in 2017 and 2018. There's only 1 movie on the docket right now for 2019. That will probably change. Now, of the list, I've already heard Wing on Gonna Geek say what he was most excited to look for. Haley, what are you most excited to look for in this?
Captain Marvel. Yeah. I've been looking forward to it for so long, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of disappointed to see it so far down the line.
Oh, tell me about it.
I know, with all the buildup, the Civil War has me intrigued. I'm not entirely intrigued about the Infinity War myself, but definitely Captain Marvel of this list is what I'm looking forward to. So I've got to wait another 4 years until we get to it.
So I'm not the only one that doesn't care about the Avengers there.
I'm more intrigued by Infinity War than Civil War because, so granted, Kevin Feige did say that the impetus of this Civil War would be who superheroes answer to instead of the secret identities thing, which does make more sense to me. Thank you for that, because trying to do a direct adaptation would be just stupid.
That makes sense coming off of at least Avengers 1, where Cap is talking about being a good soldier and Stark is saying we're not soldiers.
Yeah, and have y'all seen the leaked footage that somebody took at the event? Them hanging out at Hawkeye's farm?
Yes. Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
I didn't get a chance to watch that.
Okay, awesome. Well, you can go on Tumblr and find it.
Okay.
Once I can remember our password for our Tumblr, I'll put it up. But no, they're talking about Thor going off to find information, and Cap and Tony are having a little bickering back and forth while Cap cuts some logs and then rips logs in half with his bare hands, as apparently Tony strikes a nerve.
Wow. Cap does that?
Yes.
Oh, it's awesome.
Wow. Super Soldier. It's pretty cool.
All right.
But I want to point something in the slate that most people doesn't seem to have got at this point. Okay. You get Avengers 2, Ant-Man, Captain America. Up to that point, except for Thor, we're pretty much in what I would say the real world type of thing.
Yeah.
But then you get into Doctor Strange,
yep,
which is going to be the mystical world. You get into Guardian and Thor, which are in the same universe at this point.
Yeah, they're both in space.
Black Panther, which is in the mystical realm as well. Then you get into Infinity War, 2 space character again, and another Infinity War. They're doing classic comic when you start really, really small and then you get into the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're heading up for a reboot after that.
Maybe. We'll see. You know, my number one movie looking forward to in here is Captain Marvel. My number two movie is definitely Guardians of the Galaxy 2, because I just can't wait to see what they're going to do there. But don't get me wrong, I am still very interested in Avengers. That trailer was awesome. I really liked when Black Widow was coming out of her motorcycle out of the Quinjet. That was phenomenal.
That was cool.
And everything else, the Hulkbuster suit. Of course. Okay, ladies, what is your take on who is in the Hulkbuster suit? Because that's been an item of contention on the web.
I think it's Tony.
It is the Iron Man armor inside the bigger armor.
But it might not be Iron Man. It might be somebody else.
Some people think it might be Ultron.
Yeah.
I think it's Ultron. On the other end, I heard somebody on another cast say, I think, like last week, that in comics, you need to have a fight. So,
of course, you have to have... So I just got done with a couple of books by an author that I love named Shawn M. McGuire. She's a huge comic books fan, and her goal in life is to one day write for X-Men. And actually, once at a con, she and I were like squealing over Pixie, who's one of my favorite characters. It was great. But she has this series called Velveteen Verses, and it's about superheroes. And it's basically like, you know how Disney kind of has their stable of child actors and they control their lives like really closely?
Yep.
Picture that, but with superheroes. And it's kind of what the series is about. It's really good, a little bit creepy. And there's this one thing that she mentions in one of the short stories in there called the superhero bitch fight. And yeah, and she goes on to this whole little like sociological reasoning on why this is. And it is kind of a staple of comics and comic book movies. If you have superpowered characters, they're going to fight at some point because the people who write it, especially nowadays, people who grew up reading the comics, you know, they had the little action figures and they smash them together, or you're in the playground and you're like, you know, who would win a fight? This person, and then you, you know, attack the other person, or maybe that was just me.
No, that's not you. We're all like that. We just don't want to say it.
Yeah, I was a very violent small child. But no, it is a trope with movies, much as it sometimes annoys me, with superhero properties in general.
Yeah, so probably it's Tony, but why would the Hulk go nuts again? I don't know. I thought we were done with that.
It could be like Adam said, I think it was Adam, or was it Op? It could be the...
I think it was Mr. Paracletes.
Whoever it is, I'm very sorry. I forgot who said it.
Thank you for calling. We're going to summon you.
One of you.
You've been summoned.
One of you said that it could be the mind gem, and I would not put it past one of them being controlled with it.
Oh.
Or it could be Scarlet Witch doing something with her weird hex powers.
Her poorly defined power.
Yeah, or it could be, I heard rumors of like weird vision sequence happening in the movie.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see it now. I can see it. Thank you. In the announcement, they didn't talk about Joss Whedon anymore. He's out.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things they didn't talk about. They didn't talk about who was cast as Doctor Strange.
Nope.
They didn't talk about Spidey at all, which... I mean, Kevin Feige basically said, everything that's official, we're announcing, and everything that we're not announcing just isn't official yet. It might not be true, it might just be rumor, or we might be working on it. So, okay. It could be anything.
So he covered all his bases.
Well, he did, and I think he left the door open to the whole Spider-Man coming in for the Civil War thing. I think that would be awesome if they're able to pull that off.
They don't need it at that point. The fact that the character is not established, and they came out with the idea of the story, and they're like, it's not about secret identity. Mm-hmm. It's about who you report to. So this is going to be Civil War as much as the last movie was Winter Soldier.
Still, if you're able to pull in Spider-Man into the MCU, that would still be a big bang for whatever.
There's still a lot of cool ways they could use Spider-Man in their universe, but the fact that they don't need him for Civil War means there's no rush on it at this point.
Yeah, true enough.
There you go. So they have another negotiation point. The other thing that I'm curious, Thor Ragnarok. Okay, are we talking Ragnarok the clone, or we're talking Ragnarok the end of the world?
I really hope it's Ragnarok the death of all the Asgardians, because
yes.
I am not a fan of Ragnarok the clone.
Me neither.
Although he is a very useful character in Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Yeah, whatever. Yes, maybe. Not in a movie, please.
No, not in a movie. Oh my God, no. So yeah, my husband, who's a huge Iron Man fan, will just like start ranting if you mention Clone Thor, Clore, Ragnarok, because that was like the stupidest thing that Tony has ever done. Well, not ever done, but it was one of the like most awful things that he did in the comics.
Yeah, the list is long though. So
the list is very long, but that was pretty awful.
Yeah, something that's not on this list is Hulk going into space. That's nowhere on here.
Yeah.
Unless it's part of one of the other stories.
So the other rumor was that the first...
Captain Marvel, you just see like Hulk flying past. shaking his fist at the camera.
But the other rumor was that in the first Avenger of this series, that they would not have the major character. So do you think they're going to start like in space with Guardian and Captain Marvel maybe? And that's why Captain Marvel and Inhuman comes after this one. So they're going to recruit the space character first, and then they're going to come on Earth, meet the Avengers that we know now. And that's going to be the big crossover thing.
Well, I don't know a lot about comics, but doesn't Carol Danvers start on Earth?
Yes, she does.
Yes, but her powers are cosmic.
But her powers are cosmic. Yeah, her powers are cosmically based. They are Kree in origin.
All right.
And the Inhumans are on the moon?
No, the Inhumans start on Earth too, but their powers also come from the Kree.
Yeah, but in this timeline, they're on the moon.
Not necessarily.
Where are you picking that up?
From the comic.
All right.
I don't think
they're on the moon. I don't think they're on the moon now.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I can definitely see what you're saying is that you have all the heroes who are familiar to us, or, you know, the Earth-based ones who are familiar to us, plus the Guardians of the Galaxy kind of leading us into this cosmic stuff. And that leads us into Infinity War Part 1. And then we get the Kree people and big smashy fight in Infinity War Part 2. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, the big test is Ant-Man. If they get Ant-Man, yeah, we're good for the rest.
They've got to make it over that anthill.
Yeah. Ba-dum-tsh. Well, I'll tell you what, our friend of the cast, Chris, who's on Gonna Geek podcast, such as Gonna Geek and All Things Good and Nerdy, as well as the Starling Tribune, he ran into this Comic Alliance depiction of all the comic book movies, DC, Fox, Sony, Marvel, whatever, from 2014 through 2020. And I was taking a look at this timeline, and there was one thing that stood out to me. That is, in May of 2016 is when you get the conflux of Captain America Civil War and X-Men Apocalypse in the same month. Aside from that, it doesn't look like there's any huge budding of movies next to each other. Now,
and then in 2017, there's 10 superhero movies coming out.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, wait.
But at least they're spread out a little bit.
Yeah, but we'll see, first of all, if that Wonder Woman movie is not pushed back, because Warner Brothers has not a good track record of announcing stuff.
Well, and there's also two Sony Spider movies in that year that don't have official release dates yet. Those might not happen.
And there are no release dates for a standalone Superman or Batman movie or movies in this. So that could also crowd things up a little bit.
But Ben Affleck's schedule would put that movie in 2017.
Yeah, that would crowd it up a little bit.
I don't know why he's going to do all that work, because I'm looking at the other commitment that he has, and I'm like, dude, you're cashing in before this is over, because, wow, you're not living for the next 8 years.
Right. So it'll be interesting, in my opinion, what happens in May. Of course, in March is when we get the Batman versus Superman movie, and that's a good month and a half between that and Captain America, and it's a good thing that DC flinched and moved, because I would hate to have all three of those movies, X-Men, Capt, America, and Batman versus Superman, all in May 2016. That would suck.
No, I think that's a good date for that movie, actually. Yeah. That could be a surprise, not a surprise movie, because this needs to make his money, but this could be a Hunger Game. They placed the first Hunger Game on that slot, and it made really well. So March movies have a good track record at this point.
And this is just the superhero movies. This is not any of the other, like Star Wars is nowhere in here. I mean, it's not a complete schedule, but if you're interested to see all the comic book movies from 2014 out to 2020, go to comicalliance.com. You'll find this graphic, or go to our Facebook page. It's on there too. It's awesome to take a look at all the great movies that are going to be coming into your life over the next 5-6 years.
Well, great. We'll be the judge of that.
Well, the box office. Well, one of the two, right?
The box office doesn't mean anything. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
It means the sequel.
So we already talked about the Spidey rumors. Now, I need an executive decision. Are we or are we not going to talk about Doctor Strange casting?
I want to talk about it.
All right, you can talk about it. The rest of us will turn off our headphones. Go ahead.
Okay, because I just want it to be true. I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch, it's typecasting. It's just typecasting. And
the thing is, I remember they were saying, like, oh God, when was it? It's like at Comic-Con, like, oh, Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be on a Marvel panel. And then they ended up announcing something completely different. And everyone was like, well, I guess the talks fell through.
I feel like it's the exact level of confidence they had with Joaquin Phoenix when they're like, oh, it's pretty much a done deal. They're just negotiating out the details. That's where we are with Benedict Cumberbatch right now.
Yeah, and again, yeah, Odette Fair. You will pry Odette Fair from my cold, dead hands.
Yeah, I still think Cumberbatch is too young, but whatever.
No, he's perfect. For seven movies, he's going to be perfect at the end. Come on.
They're not going to do seven Doctor Strange movies.
No, but he's going to be in seven of these, Infinity War and Captain Marvel and whatever other stuff. Come on, Doctor Strange can be in a Guardian of the Galaxy movie if they want.
They can all be in any of the movies. That's it's hashtag it's all connected.
Just have him astrally project onto the Milano.
Yes.
Who the hell are you? He is fire. He is death.
The one thing I will say that made me think that this was a done deal was when Ming-Na Wen actually put on her Facebook, welcome to the Marvel family, Benedict Cumberbatch. I thought it was a done deal then, but no.
Right.
Yeah. One of my friends started ranting to me. And at this point, when all this stuff was being announced and everything yesterday, I was busy at work and people were like messaging me and my phone was just buzzing while I was listening to a podcast. And so then I was like, okay, well, first place I'm going to go see is the official Marvel Twitter account. Nothing. So I was like, oh, until they announce it, it's not true.
Yep.
Yep.
But still, I want this one to be true. I want this one to be true. But the one that is true is that they cast the guy for Black Panther, and I have no idea who that guy is.
Okay. He is Jackie Robinson in 42, and he's James Brown in Get On Up. He's actually a really good actor.
Mm. Good.
Yes. If any of y'all have HBO or access to HBO Go, they've been playing 42 a lot recently.
Yeah.
So
I'll bet. Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah, Chadwick Boseman is who they've cast for Black Panther.
Yes, his name's Chadwick Boseman. He's good.
Right. Yeah. I have not had a chance to see 42, but it got a lot of acclaim when it came out. So I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
And they're saying he's actually going to make his debut in Captain America Civil War before starring in his own movie the following year.
And the picture on Robert Downey Jr.'s Twitter account with him and Chadwick Boseman and Chris Evans just all kind of in a group picture was really cute.
Mm-hmm.
They're all like, yay!
That was cute. Talking about other cuteness, who is Angie Martinelli in the Agent Carter universe? Do we know?
She is going to play a friend of Peggy Carter's.
Okay.
Well, no, that's the character name. The actress name is Lindsay with two Y's, L-Y-N, not like two Y's at the end. Fonseca. Yeah.
Yeah. She's going to be playing Angie Martinelli, who is Peggy Carter's friend.
All right. Was she at the pool, at Howard Stark's pool?
Probably.
When they did that scene, that one shot scene?
Not that I'm seeing on IMDb.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so. I did read a synopsis of the official synopsis for Agent Carter was released, which we won't tell you about in case you're completely spoiler averse. But I think the first episode is kind of replacing the one shot based on the description.
Oh, okay. That was an awesome one shot. I remember.
Yeah.
Remember.
That was the pilot, basically. They showed what they could do. They were like, look, this costs that. So if we multiply this by that much time, it costs X. So can we do this?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good model. Come on.
Right. I mean, that's exactly how they got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was...
Yep.
What was the name of that?
A funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer.
No. The one that was on the Avengers. Object 42? No.
Oh.
Item 42.
Item 42. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good model. I'm all for it.
It is. I like it.
Yeah. It gives us good stuff. I mean, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season is so good. Are we getting to Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I want to talk about that?
We're getting there.
Now.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. We've got, of course, the Avengers Age of Ultron trailers. We've got links to them if you haven't seen them. And I can't imagine you listening to this podcast and not seeing them. Seems as though they've been viewed like over 100 million times so far. So.
Yeah, I've watched it like three times each today. There's two of them.
I went by it like frame by frame earlier today.
I'll probably watch it again as soon as we finish talking.
I will say congratulations to Marvel for making a great decision. It happened as we were recording to Live to Hard Drive last week, but they went ahead and released the trailer a week early because it had already leaked.
It was a different trailer, actually. It was different than the one that they aired during the episode. Yeah,
they probably made change after, but the way they reacted to it was so classy. It was. Damn it,
Hydra.
Damn it. Yeah. And then they just posted a good quality trailer. I was like, yeah, okay, I'm good with that. Well, I'd like DC to do that with my Batman trailer that I have.
I know, they need to take note because
apparently the Batman versus Superman trailer is supposed to be with The Hobbit.
Right. Well, they got over 36 million clicks in one day. And a couple of days ago, the last time I checked, it was over 70 million. So it's awesome that they did that. If they're getting the clicks, which means they get advertising revenue from it. So they're getting monetization from doing it rather than just sitting on it.
They're getting monetization from selling you the movie. That's wow.
And meanwhile, there are people out there that have been getting snippets of the DC trailer that they've shown front in Comic-Con or wherever else, and they're getting it illegally, and all they have to do is put it out there and then make money out of it. I don't understand what DC's problem is, but they obviously have one.
They don't want money.
Obviously
don't
not.
Blame it on DC. Blame it on Warner, please. Please.
All right. Well, anyways, in one of these trailers, you get, you know, the whole group hanging out at Tony's place. There was an unidentified woman in that trailer.
Mm-hmm.
People think they've identified her at this point. Disney has confirmed that it is South Korean actress Claudia Kim, a.k.a. Kim Soo-hyun. And people are speculating that she's going to play Suzy Endo.
Who is Suzy Endo?
She's a scientist that works for Stark Industries and has connections to Ultron.
Yeah, well, that would make sense then.
But that part is not confirmed, who she's playing. Just the actress is confirmed.
Okay.
I was so hopeful that it was Jane.
A lot of people were speculating that it was Jane Foster, but it's not.
So, I mean, we did get secondary characters in there.
Yeah. We've got War Machine in there.
Mm-hmm.
Maria Hill's hanging out.
Mm-hmm. It's all good.
Natasha does not want to try to pick up the hammer.
Even though she's worthy.
I don't understand why she didn't. It's.
She had a beer. She's good.
When you know you're not going to budget anyway.
I mean, what has she got against the Chrises? Come on. Okay, the last thing we'll go into here is that there was one more promo. We saw one last first scenes that we saw of Agent Carter.
Yeah, we've got 15 seconds of promotional material.
How many times have you watched that in slow-mode it, Haley?
I've watched it 3 times.
Slow-mode it frame by frame?
Sometimes the best man for the job
is a woman.
Awesome. I can't wait for this 8-episode event, as they said. We know it as another TV show, but they call it an event. Fine, whatever. I'll go with it. So that is awesome. Okay, you've waited for it. Now we've got it. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 2, Episode 6, A Fractured House.
Oh, yeah, there was an episode.
Yes, yeah. There was. And it was a
yesterday
dang
was just
good
like
one.
The Marvel explosion. So
I know. And I tweeted this, you know, Marvel, you did such an excellent job. DC, all you had to fight back with was Flash and Felicity. And well, if that's all you had, you did a good job. But
I still need to watch yesterday's episode.
In the meantime, Marvel with this episode from start to finish. Awesome. It was a heck of an episode. Fun, action, serious stuff in there. And you knew Coulson was playing like 3 or 4 games deep throughout the entire thing. It was awesome to watch.
And you know not to trust anybody named Ward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to point out I made the being a douchebag runs in the family way before Sky did.
So we knew about this fake UN attack that Hydra was doing because they teased it last week in the commercial for it, whatever. And Talbot was there at the UN. And I was thinking, is this another Talbot mask? Apparently it wasn't. He actually
Who would want to wear a Talbot mask with that awful mustache on it?
But that's why we saw him
apparently Bakshi would. Apparently Bakshi would.
Yeah, but we saw him get one of those ninja stars thrown at him and everybody
the
else.
The shatter bombs. I wanted to ask y'all about this. The first time I was watching, it didn't really register for me that the whole time Talbot's arm was in a sling after that. Second time through, I'm watching it. You see the shatter bomb coming right towards him.
It's a splinter
and then he spends
bomb.
The rest of the episode. Yeah, the splinter bomb. Sorry.
Okay.
The rest of the episode with his arm in a sling. I'm like, did it hit him? And
I figure what must have happened.
Thing is obviously based on the obelisk technology.
I thought it was powered by magnets.
How do they work?
And transistors, probably.
Yeah. But they said that it's based on old Hydra technology. Hydra had the obelisk before 1946. And the way that it turns people to stone is exactly like the obelisk. Like, it turns them to stone and then crumbles them.
Mm.
And if Talbot got hit and didn't turn to stone, does that mean that he also has whatever
the DNA of whatever.
The
DNA.
See, okay, ooh. The way I figure it happened, because there's no injury he gets from that involves his arm ending up in a sling.
Which is what Scott pointed out to me.
So I figured what happened was he like dives through that doorway, and when it hit the doorway, it caused that to crumble and fall on him or something. That's the only thing that made any sense.
So the door crumbled and fell on him as it was crumbling?
Right. Like, well, or a beam went down or something and it caused part of the roof to collapse on him or something.
That I would take. Because I was just going to say, we see Mockingbird literally fly through somebody to hit somebody. Yeah,
which was the best part of the episode. That's one of my notes for that fight scene.
Yes.
Her doing a twisty flippy thing through Hydra dust.
Yo, we'll get there. We'll get there. I have a question about the stupid coffee cup because I wasn't able to blow it up. What was on that stupid coffee cup?
It was Grumpy Cat, but I couldn't tell what it said.
Yeah, it was Grumpy Cat.
I hate Mondays.
But that was awesome because they understand that putting their logo everywhere was stupid. And this episode is based on that. I mean, people getting the... I mean, it's easy to get S.H.I.E.L.D. branded stuff. We know it's easy. And so then they don't even have a cup that's branded.
I want to know which one of them brought that cup from home.
I bet Trip did.
Probably.
I bet Trip brought it and he gave it to May.
Oh, yeah. Here's for your hate, Foo.
But that's a good point, too. The Star Wars shirt.
That was funny.
That was cute.
Yeah, she's a geek. Yay.
That's our crossover.
Yeah. Well, it really a crossover? Because it's the same
universe.
That's
as much as we're getting.
All right.
It's a long time ago in the galaxy far, far away. Give it time. We'll get there.
All right. So the whole Bobby Lance back and forth the entire episode, it was the levity that this episode needed.
It was great. It was pretty great.
Actually, the best part of that was when they're still arguing and they both shoot the guy at the same time.
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
You see what I have to put up with? The hell beast.
And then the whole time, May is just there like, I want no part of this.
You know I don't like
you. You know I don't like you, right?
Yeah, that was awesome.
In this episode, we're perfect. Like,
yes.
Do you still talk to him? And just that look. Right. Good advice.
Oh, it's the same as when Coulson and May were talking in the cockpit last season.
Yes,
but that works. Why not do it again? I have this in my note. All the spy stuff with May is perfect. They took the essence of a good scene of an action spy movie and crumbled it up into 20 minutes. But everything works. The characterization of everybody works. You have development in there. You have a plot continuity. It's beautiful scene. I love this scene. This is the best they've done yet.
It's like a Chuck episode that actually works.
Yes.
Okay. Something that didn't work, but worked with the story, but it was really painful again to watch was
Science
the whole.
Babies?
Yes. Simmons and Fitz.
I, again, had another discussion with my husband, who's like a great sounding board. And one day I'm going to have to try to drag him on. But he's always like, who'd want to hear me talk? Well, me, obviously.
Scott, I want to hear you talk because I'm outnumbered here most of the time. Yeah.
He got wingman.
And yeah.
He's your wingman. So,
yes. Literal wingman.
Wing counts as like half, though. You can't count him as a whole, dude.
Why do I count as half?
Because you're a French Canadian.
Yeah, and I'm proud of it.
Yeah, see, that's my point. Anyway, Lauren, you were saying?
We were talking about how the whole he's worse when he's around you bit and how that felt kind of unfair. And the thing is, you have to look at it, I think, from two different angles. First is that the way that Fitz is looking at it is that the Simmons that has been in his head for the past few months, whenever she would finish his sentences, she always knew just the right thing to say. She looked at him like he wanted to be looked at. Just everything was, if not perfect, at least fine. And now the real Simmons is back and she doesn't know that she doesn't have that intuitive thing because she is not literally a part of him. And then Simmons, who's been away for, you know, months, hasn't had the time to see how he's progressed, hasn't, you know, she's been so busy that she probably hasn't really had time to process, oh, yeah, this is how Fitz is now. She remembers the old Fitz and she wants to interact with him like the old Fitz.
Right. And she's still waiting for him to get better.
Yeah. They haven't had time to kind of reacquaint themselves with each other and figure out an equilibrium. And it's upsetting for both of them on that level. And Mac, who only knows new Fitz, is seeing this as somebody's bugging my friend.
It was bugging me seeing that relationship.
It was making me very sad.
I mean, it's like, oh man. And then at the end, to jump completely around here, but at the end when they're dealing with Ward and they know, I mean, Coulson came out and said it, you know, you drop Simmons and Fitz from an airplane into the ocean and caused what happened to Fitz, and Ward walks by them. It's like, I so want to tear you apart. And I mean, you might want to talk about ulterior motives with what's going on there. I mean, was he really a plant? Did Coulson say, okay, you know, this is your chance to make it up to us or whatever, and we just didn't see that? I doubt it.
I don't think so, because I don't think Coulson would have risked his guys like that.
No, I think that was genuine anger that Coulson was showing.
I agree. Right. So the point is that Ward is definitely the cause of a lot of stuff that happened with this. He betrayed everybody. He killed Eric. He killed Hand. And I don't think there's going to be any redeeming him for that. But to get back to Fitz and Simmons, Ward's the cause. Now, Ward's gone. Is that going to make things better because he's not in their little hideout?
No, because he's going to be on the loose and they're going to have to deal with him.
Yeah, but between Fitz and Simmons, though.
I don't think so. I think their issue is something completely separate from Ward.
Yeah. Okay.
Though that said, having, you know, a common enemy out in the wild, I think will do wonders to get them working together again and force them to find that middle ground.
Yeah, they are on the same team. So, I mean, we saw it with Bobby and Lance this episode where they had to work together, and they work together very well while arguing.
Yeah, they do. They may not get along very well, but they work together very well. And I like that.
Did you see Bobby's smirk?
Yes.
When she was walking away at the end.
Love it.
Haley, what did she say?
Which time?
You can stay.
Yeah. She's saying, well, you know, don't get killed out there. And then she's walking away and she said, or you can stay or something like that.
All right. I didn't write that down because it wasn't the best quote of the episode. But yeah, it was a nice moment.
Yeah, it was.
But they're good as new characters because they've been here for what, 5-6 episodes at this point?
She's been here for two episodes.
And they're part of the team more than characters that I had for the old last
season. She stole this episode. She completely stole this episode.
Again?
Really? With May with fighting the knife on the string?
Yeah.
So my notes for the fight choreography were May versus the spinny knife and then Bobby jumping through Hydra dust.
That was awesome.
Yeah. I'm liking Bobby a whole lot.
So she puts herself in between the two. So she shields herself from the splinter bomb. And then she has
jumps
enough
through what's left over of the guy to smash the other guy.
That is awesome. You have to think that through, too. That's not just, okay, you know, this is just what's happening. This is planned. In the middle
of the
fight.
And that was a really cool effect, too, to have it where they have the effect where the person turns to dust and then she can jump through it. It was really good.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
This show has gotten better and better and better, and I love the action in it. But something that I also liked that wasn't action-y but was amazing was the dual talk scenes between Coulson and Senator Ward and Sky and Grant Ward.
That was really good.
And after the fact, you learn that they're not happening at the same time.
That blew my mind.
But you think they are. It was amazing.
Okay, so now we're at Christian or Grant. Which one do you believe? My answer is neither.
True.
I believe Grant a little more.
I think maybe they're both psychos and they tortured the younger brother.
But what I think, and I want to hear y'all's opinion on this, is I'm wondering if, okay, there were long stretches of time after Garrett got a hold of our ward, basement ward.
Yeah.
Where he didn't see him.
Yeah.
And he heard about, older brother sucks. But older brother also ambitious and puts on a good face. So do you think he could have or could have gotten somebody to go out and started keeping an eye on the older brother, if not overtly, then maybe like Palpatine-like, to try to recruit him to Hydra? Maybe Senator Stern, the senator from Iron Man 2.
And Captain America 2.
Yeah. So maybe Ward was being thrown to the wolves, so to speak, just as a further method of keeping Hydra underground.
Or getting him elected as whatever he's trying to get elected.
Well, that obviously.
Because that's the answer. The answer is really like, this guy's using
his brother to stay in power and to increase his power. That's very obvious. But I'm wondering if he's also Hydra.
He's probably Hydra. They're all Hydra.
Except I don't know that he would have given the speech like he did.
I think he would have. Because it, again, legitimizes himself and kind of makes himself above suspicion.
Yeah, if Hydra is not out in the open and in control, which they're not, they've been defeated a little bit and they're fighting for the underground. They don't have enough power to be out in the open. So if that's the case, you need to start placing your new heads in places where you can control entities, which otherwise you can't control. So yeah, I could definitely see that. Okay, so S.H.I.E.L.D. lost six agents and then May shakes Talbot's hand.
Yeah.
Okay, so as soon as they introduced Agent Walters, I was like, I don't think she's going to make it through this episode.
No. Yeah.
In fact, I wrote down Agent Redshirt.
Does she have a history in the comics at all?
Well, they said Walters, and the first female Walters that I think of is Jennifer Walters, who's She-Hulk, so obviously not her.
Okay.
Lots of bikes, lots of weed.
But the fact that Talbot and May were coexisting in a room and Talbot wasn't trying to arrest her, and they shook hands, does that mean that Talbot's unit is now working with S.H.I.E.L.D., or was this just a one-time deal?
I think they're at least not actively pursuing them anymore, okay, if the senator told them to back off.
For now.
See, what I think is that Talbot is actually a good guy. Okay, if S.H.I.E.L.D. is chaotic good, then he's lawful good.
S.H.I.E.L.D. is chaotic good?
I would agree with that.
Well, they go outside the lines.
Okay. Sure. Neutral good?
They've got people like Black Widow working for them.
Yeah.
Okay. Good point taken.
Yeah. They're willing to bend the rules a lot. Whereas this guy, he, you know, it'll put them at odds. And seeing, especially, you know, face to face, that, okay, these people lost people too, doing the right thing and all the stuff. Seeing that these guys aren't just always going to be a pain in his ass, that they are also trying to do the right thing, I think has kind of softened him up towards them. I don't think he's going to be their best buddy anytime soon, but I think that he's now able to see them as less than the enemy. I think he's able to see them as a little bit more also victims of Hydra instead of working with Hydra.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at the very end, you get, I think it's that, I don't know, Ambassador Beckers or whatever his name is, Ensign Becker.
Right, Beckers.
Yeah. Is he the one that's tattooing himself?
No, that was a different guy. They caught Beckers at the border, I think they said.
Okay.
Yeah. Who was the guy getting tattooed? I couldn't figure that out.
It was a new guy. We haven't seen him before. Okay. I don't know who he was.
So it wasn't just me.
Just some guy that's tattooing himself with the crazy writing.
Right. The map.
And it looks like that's going to come to a head next week, but we'll see.
2 weeks.
Two weeks. Yes. Agent 13 next week. Woohoo!
Agent 13?
The 75-year thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Emily Van Camp.
So you're really excited because it's Agent 13, but besides that, the content, who cares?
Pretty much, yeah. Emily.
Yeah, I'm there for the content. He's there for Emily Van Camp. Well, happy.
Actually, that episode is next week.
It said in 2 weeks.
It did.
Oh, IMDb has it listed as next week.
IMDb is wrong. Because at the end of the episode, I know, they said in 2 weeks. So
in
I think
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Or you could go
I was
with
like,
the
no, and then yes.
You could go with the money pit 2 weeks too. 2 weeks. They said they do the whole bathroom 2 weeks. Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
The money pit? You've never seen it? Oh, it's one of Tom Hanks' best movies. Got to go watch it. It's with what's her name for Cheers too.
Shelley Long.
Yes, Shelley Long. Tom Hanks. It's great. All right. Do you guys have anything else from the episode?
Yeah, I have a few more things.
Go ahead.
Okay. So Bobby's getting ready to go into this bad guy headquarters and she has to give away her gun. Wouldn't a Hydra security officer carry a gun?
You would think so.
That did not make a whole lot of sense.
No.
Also, 7 minutes is too long to steep green tea.
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a delicate tea, like 3 minutes usually.
It's going to be burnt.
Well.
Yeah. It's going to taste
like dirt. It's supposed to be, if I remember correctly, it's like 1 minute for white tea, 3 minutes for green tea, 5 minutes for black tea, and up to 7 minutes for herbal teas, depending on the herbal tea.
Right.
All right.
This is important stuff
to know. We are serious about our teas, y'all.
Right. Wow. It's one of those things that's really good when you make it right and awful when you do it wrong. So you learn it pretty quick.
So make it right.
Probably why I don't like green tea.
You've been cooking it too long.
Yes, I have.
Yes. And you have to have the water at the right temperature, too, because if you actually have it boiling instead of just underboiling, then it's also going to...
Yeah, it'll taste burnt.
I've done that correctly.
And then my last note is when Coulson was taking Ward to his brother, why didn't they sedate him for transport?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. You know how hard it is to control him.
Speaking of which, so I went to go see John Wick this weekend, which is really fun, by the way. I recommend it. Adrian Palicki is in it. I was watching the movie and I was like, wait a minute, she's familiar. So at one point in the movie, she dislocates her thumb to get out of handcuffs. Mm-hmm. Cue this episode. Mm-hmm. Ward dislocates his thumb to get out of handcuffs. I'm like, I am having the strangest case of deja vu right now.
Mm-hmm. That was just Ward peacocking, by the way.
Nobody says that.
So what's going to happen to the deal now that he's not there anymore?
I guess we'll see in 2 weeks.
I think Grant still might show up at his brother's door.
I don't know. He seemed pretty scared of his brother.
S.H.I.E.L.D. legitimately transferred Ward from their custody to whoever he was giving him to, you know, those men. So it's really those, I mean, well, I guess they're dead, aren't they?
I think those were still S.H.I.E.L.D. guys because they were in the secret S.H.I.E.L.D. base.
Really? I guess
so. Yeah, I think they were taking him somewhere else for transfer.
Yeah, then I would definitely would have, if I was Coulson, I would have definitely sedated him because there's no way that I would have let him, you know, with any possibility of escaping unless, see, that's where the conspiracy theory comes in. Unless Coulson wanted him to escape, either because it was planned with Ward or it's something that he had in mind that Ward was going to lead them to something else.
I thought that for a minute, but then I was like, no, because Coulson wouldn't want to endanger people that way.
I don't know. He's Director Coulson now. He does things that he normally wouldn't have.
I still don't think he would have done it.
You might be right. I'm just trying to explain it. It just might be bad writing, like the one bad writing thing of the whole episode, because it was so awesome.
They needed him to escape.
Yeah.
So if they work too hard to prevent it, then he can't escape.
Plot requires.
Yep.
Yep. Lauren, you got anything else?
The only other thing I was going to say was the John Wick thing, and I said it, so no, I'm good.
All right, Wing, you got anything else that you so wanted to be on the cast tonight?
No, I was just really happy with all the news and about this episode, because seriously, this episode made me think of a lot of like small little short movies, like different style, different mm-hmm. vibes, but really, really well done. This is one of the best they've done yet. And we've been seeing that a lot of weeks in a row, and I think that brings the good point that as long as they're keeping on this side of the universe, it's working well. We'll see how this integrates when civil wars happen.
You know what's kind of scary? We're at this point now. Can you imagine what it's going to be at the mid-season finale? This is going to be awesome. And then to roll into Agent Carter for the next 8 weeks. And then, this is going to be so awesome. Mid-season finale is going to be way wicked.
Come on, Marvel. Make it happen.
They will. They will. All right. You guys got anything else?
Not right now. I think that's it.
All right. Join us next week as we talk Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 7, The Writing on the Wall. You could join us and contact us on our website. Go to legendsofshield.com. That'll bring you to our webpage on the GunnaGeek.com website. We have a voicemail line which has been used, and we want you to use it. It is international. Toll free 844 the bus 1 or 844-843-2871. We have a Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr all at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Also, we have forums. They are fun. You can talk about where you see different characters and like Adrian Palicki and say, "Ooh, I saw her break her thumb." And that's at forums.gunnageek.com. Also, we have started streaming live as we record on Mixlr. That's MIXLR.com.
What?
We are
doing that?
Yeah.
You didn't tell us this.
Yeah, I didn't. Surprise, surprise. It actually worked. So I didn't know if
Holy
it was going to work or
okay.
not. Yep. So.
Wow.
Wow. So the power of edit. It's not going to be there. What are we going to do?
Well, it will still be an edited cast, but you get to listen to us live if you want to. Although,
yeah, you get to hear all
you get the raw
scene.
Version.
Yeah. Wing and I would much prefer that you go watch Arrow and then listen to Starling Tribune when it comes out. So go ahead, contact us. I talked about before about the top five Marvel characters. If you have Science of Marvel questions, let us know. We'd love to talk about
or
it.
Or Science of Tea questions. Yeah. We'll take those too.
Yeah,
as just science in general.
Well, not your type of science, Wing. Our type of science. So thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you hanging there in there with us today.
Right. We want to thank all of our listeners. Especially, we want to thank Jay, Andy, Richard, and Christy for their feedback on Twitter.
We'd also like to thank Mr. Paracletes, Op, and Adam for calling in. We really appreciate y'all taking the time out of your day to do so.
And I would like to double tap Operator again for live tweeting the West Coast of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I hope you do it again. It was great. I was rereading the tweets. You had some great things to say, so that's awesome. If you want to go back into our Twitter feed and catch both Lauren and Op live tweeting on their respective coasts, go ahead, and it's some incredible stuff. So until next week, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I am Agent Lauren.
I'm Consultant Wing.
Bye-bye for now, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you'll find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.